Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee and a service department with great technicians that back it all up on a daily basis. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Time as Buck buries the triple. He has his first Penn State three. And a different role this year after scoring more than 17 points per game for Bucknell a year ago, already a Penn State captain.
Andrew Funk last night had 22, 6 of 10 and threes last night. Nathan Davis now joins us, head coach at Bucknell. How have you been, my friend? Great to have you back.
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing well. I will start with that. I've watched Jimmy Sotos and announced his games. Ohio State. We know what Nate Sestina did. I see Andrew Funk now. The transfer portal works one way at your level. How difficult is that? Because I know you work hard to help guys find the right spots. I know you do that. But how difficult is it at your level when the transfer portal only works one way?
You know, it's just the way the world is today. I think that at the end of the day, speaking specifically about Andrew, I mean, Andrew's big thing was with the extra year with COVID, he wanted to get an MBA, and we don't have that here. So I think the big thing for him, and I agree with him entirely, was use basketball to further your education and work on that degree. So I'm happy for where he ended up. He's doing well. I actually know he's coming to our game on Saturday. Looking forward to seeing him and excited to watch him play this year.
Exactly. It was great to talk to him after the game and talk to him during the preseason as well. He's a terrific young man. All right, your team off to a good start last night. Everybody got in the game. What does that mean for team camaraderie, chemistry, and so forth when everybody can get in?
You know, I think the great thing about our team this year, unlike the past, is we have the past couple of years between COVID and last year just with our numbers, we actually have 14 guys that can play. And so competition daily and day out is very good, which helps us get better. And to go out there and play well last night and let everyone get a chance to play and contribute was a great way to kind of wrap up the opening part of the season.
Culture is always an interesting word. It's one of those, I think, that when you're around it, you know when it's good. You've had great culture at Bucknell with you as the head coach. When COVID hit, obviously it was crazy for everybody. Did you have to in any way rebuild the culture because there had been separation of people and so forth along the way?
You know, it's a good question. I'm not sure I got a great answer for you. I think it was just so different for everybody across the board around the country. It was so different than within the general COVID. You had different restrictions on your campuses that weren't necessarily the same, and so they affected people differently. The lack of time, like guys couldn't be around each other, obviously, outside of actually playing, so you don't get some of that camaraderie that you need. So it was certainly challenging and carried over the next year for us, where we had basically 10 scholarship players. So you're trying to – they're spending time together again, but now you're balancing stuff as far as practice goes and how hard you can go and things like that. So it's certainly been a challenge, but everyone's had to deal with it, and I'm looking forward to what happens this year.
Yeah, everybody's looking forward to it because you feel like you know you're back on track. You hit a record number of three pointers last night, so it was bombs away for you. How'd you feel about the ball movement to set up some of those looks?
You know, I thought our guys played with great purpose. I thought we did a good job of reading the defense and throwing the ball where it needed to go. We've got really three, but two that stand out so far because one's my freshman, but Andre Screen at 7'1", and then Alex Turman at 6'10", are both very good players that can score and draw a lot of attention to the paint. and Lebanon Valley decided they were going to try to take that away, and our guys did a great job of reading it and not forcing it and just throwing it to the open guy who made the right play.
Yeah, because you had 25 assists on your 42 baskets last night. I mean, that's what struck me right away when I looked at it. Edmonds had 8 assists last night, and Xander Rice, gee, I wonder where he got this from, had 5 assists last night. Your thoughts on you know, how they control the pace of the game for you?
Well, I think that a big thing is that those guys have now played a lot. Obviously, Edmonds started a lot as a freshman, and Xander going to senior. Yeah. They've played a lot, so they've seen a lot of situations. And then throw in, I don't want to leave out Josh Bosco, who played really well for us last night, also with 5 assists. He's kind of the 3 main guards that played. So the big thing, and I think they've really bought in so far, and not even bought in is not the right word, are enthusiastic about the idea that we've got a lot of guys can score in a lot of different ways. We just got to make sure that we get good shots. It's not about who scores, it's about that we score. Knowing that it'll all come around eventually and guys will get a chance to put up the kind of numbers they want, and we'll win some games along the way.
Andre Screen had the 8 rebounds last night. I mean, the big man out of Alexandria. You've watched him develop. Where is he a better player now than when you first had him?
I think the biggest thing with him, and it's not unusual, you can say this about most guys as they get into college, as they get into their junior year, is just the maturity level. The understanding of the effort you got to put forth every day, the understanding of the time you got to put in, that you got to be ready to go every day. That's kind of been the biggest step. And with that, so far, again, it's early. I think it's come throughout the preseason is a tremendous amount of consistency. Sometimes in the past, people were consistent being inconsistent. He's been consistent being consistent so far this year. As long as that continues, he should be up for a good year.
Consistency, is that an important part of Xander Rice's game?
Yeah, it is. I think it's. I think the guy I played for, Hal Nunley, who was a longtime Division III and Division II coach, very well respected, used to have a great saying. He goes, every day you show up and you either put cookies in or you take cookies out of the cookie jar. And yeah. And being around for a long time, Xander's put a lot of cookies in the cookie jar because of the way he's played.
Yeah.
So he's a guy that we trust, and I trust. We know that we're on the same page, and we know that more times than not, he's going to make the right play.
Yeah, it's always, you know, people talk about effort. Walter Barr was a men's soccer coach here at Penn State for a long time. His sons are Chris and Matt Barr, who kicked in the NFL and in Super Bowls. And he always used to have a saying when he talked to his team before the game, because you get oranges at halftime. He'd say,
right.
Earn your orange. He'd say, earn your orange. All right? That's what he told them all the time. Did you feel in the first half a lot of your guys earned their orange?
Yeah, I thought we did. Like you said, I thought we did a lot of good things. It didn't start out. We were down 8-0. The first couple of possessions didn't go we want. They did make a couple of shots, but I thought our guys stuck with it and made the right plays. That's the biggest thing. If we can, the process, at the end of the day, you want to win as many games as possible. You want to win every game, I should say. But along the way, it's as much at times about the process as of whether the shot goes in or you get the stop. And I thought that our process at both ends was pretty good last night. Certainly, being one game in, there's a lot of room to get better, and we got to get back and work on that. But I think certainly it's an opportunity to have a pretty good team.
You got Niagara next. That'll be at Soika. Then you got St. Peter's. You got to go to Jersey City. Then you got to get on to Athens and take on Georgia. Now we're getting to a part of the schedule. Is this where you're trying to now test and see exactly where you are as you get yourself in that mindset of getting ready for the Patriot?
Yeah, I always look at the season as kind of three into three-thirds. The first third, you're really trying to figure yourself out what works, what doesn't work. The second third, you're trying to get confident in what you're doing. Everyone really knows their role. So by the third, you're playing as well as you can. So that's kind of where we are now. We've had one game. We've had 2 scrimmages. So we'll learn a lot about ourselves over the next, 3-4 weeks as we head into exams and conference play and try to continue to build, figure out who fits best where, who plays best together, who gives us the best chance to win. All those things will be sorted out over the coming weeks.
Josh Addo came off the bench. He had 18 for you last night. What do you like about his development?
Well, I think there's 2 things. I think, one, he's as hard a worker as I've ever been around. He is in the gym all the time. He's working on his game. He wants to be good. He always competes. He's going to play hard. He wants to do what you ask him to do. I think along the lines of a lot of things, with the same thing we've we've really struggled with some last year is the maturity level. I mean, a year ago, he's a sophomore, but he only played really two games in about 10 minutes his freshman year because of COVID and a concussion. So last year, everything was new to him, and now I think the game has slowed down a bit for him. He's starting to see and understand why things work the way they do, and he's been making good decisions. And so with that, he's a guy that's very dynamic for us. He's one of our best at putting the ball on the floor to create shots. He's one of our better athletes, so he can defend. So we need him to continue to improve and give us a big boost in whatever role we ask him to play.
What was the preseason personality of your team? What kind of judgment did you have about the kind of group that you have?
You know, I thought that our guys have they want to be good. I think that they get along. I thought that they showed they worked hard. I thought they were very competitive, which was something we really liked. I thought that they were very competitive. If you kept score with stuff, they turned it up another notch, which is always a good sign. Like I said, we had 14 guys that get out there and compete every day, and I think that's over the years one of the things that's allowed us to be good is we were able to compete every day and practice and push ourselves. So we were constantly improving along the way.
How do you feel about the defensive end? I know it's one game. I got that. But I mean, you see in practice how they commit themselves to it. How do you feel about that end of the floor? Can that be productive for you?
Yeah, I think if you look at this game, and you can't really get into it, but in our two secret scrimmages, there were a lot of positives about it. I think we're bigger. We're more physical. I think we're paying more attention to it. There's still a long way to go before we're where we need to be, but you can say that about everybody. But I think certainly it's on the right track. We have a chance to be a little more diverse in some of the things we're doing because we're more experienced now, so it's not you're not throwing stuff at them. They get their heads spinning. They understand what's going on. So it's something I think that where we are now, we're in a good spot, but certainly we got a lot of work to get to the level we need to be to have this season we want to have.
When it comes to the scrimmages, I always steal the line from Animal House. I call them double secret probation scrimmages.
It's pretty accurate. It's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Well, good start. Niagara coming up next. It's always great talking to you. Appreciate you very much, Nathan.
Thanks. Have a good week.
You bet. Nathan Davis, a basketball coach at Bucknell. Getting a lot of feedback. They want Luke to tell everybody in the gym to all rise for the national anthem. It seems to be catching on.
I'll have to check in on that for the Niagara game Saturday.
Kids in animal acts. You can't stop them.
That's true.
Must have been great for Doug to get back and do some basketball last night.
Yes, he was very excited. I got a chance to talk to him for a couple minutes pregame. So, yes, he was happy to be back.
So he's got two on Saturday, right? So he's got – no, in fact –
Actually, no.
He won't do the Georgetown game.
Correct.
That's on the road, right?
Yeah, that'll be on the road, so he will not do the Georgetown game. So he'll be home just for the Niagara game on the ESPN Plus broadcast. Okay. And then our buddy Sam Cooperman will fill in for Doug on the – football broadcast with the suit from Georgetown.
And will the suit do play-by-play?
No, he's sticking with his color. Sam will be the play-by-play guy.
Wow, whoever's running that show is good judgment. All right, we'll come back now. Just kidding. Just kidding. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Bingo!
Doug in mid-season form.
Oh, yeah. The It'll be fun to see the Funk Man back in Soik on Saturday. I didn't know that he was coming back.
Yeah, because Penn State plays Thursday night, and they don't play again until Monday.
There you go.
So
yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. And then there's next week.
Yes. So you've told me already.
I'll be here Monday and Tuesday. I will do the show from Charleston Wednesday. I will do the show from Charleston Thursday. All right. Friday is out. Next week for me. Because no matter what happens in the game on Thursday, Thursday's 11:30, so I'll be back in the hotel and I'll be able to do the show on Thursday. But Friday, no matter what the result is, I got to get to the airport. I've got a 6:30 flight to Newark, so I probably should be heading out to the airport by about 4 anyway. So I've already got a color analyst looking at me saying, "You're going to be there, right?" Yeah. And then I have the basketball color analyst saying to me, "You're coming back, right?" Yeah, I plan to.
Yeah.
I looked up the flights. They're still active. I even have a seat assignment.
That's good. Yeah, because, of course, well, I think we should be fine by then with the bad weather coming through.
I think, that's no issue. There have been, I think, fewer cancellations among airlines of late, right? I mean, a lot.
Yeah, as far as that goes with the shortage, yeah.
I mean, I checked, right? And I had a seat assignment. Not only that, it's in first class. Wow. Okay.
Bingo!
I mean, I didn't set it up. Jimmy Benita set it up. See, what happened is I had a credit from last year. Last year, Penn State was going to play Delaware State. And the charter going down to Tampa was leaving that day. So I got permission to get a commercial flight down to Tampa on the 30th, the day after. Well, we all know, if you look back, Delaware State had a COVID problem. So the game ended up being canceled. So I got a hold of them and I said, "Hey, look, I can go on the charter now." They said, "Hey, you're going to get a credit for your airline trip." I said, "Okay." So that's how we'll use it. Well, when this came up with Charleston, I got a hold of Jimmy in July, and I said, "Jimmy, I have a credit, don't I, coming to me?" He says, "Yeah." He said, "We need to use all of it." I said, "Okay." And that's how I got the seat, because they used all of it. It's like, okay. Jimmy says, "I'm going for it." I said, "Jimmy, you go for it." I said, "I'll be the beneficiary." So, yeah. Not bad, right?
We'll take
it. Oh, darn right I'll take it. Yeah. That happened to me once on a trip to San Francisco. Right? I got on the plane in D.C. And, so I'm flying cross-country. I was going out for a basketball tournament in Berkeley. And they said, "This is the only seat we have left." I go, "Darn." What a shame. I'll take it. I have to admit, it's a nice experience. I mean, this is something you're used to, so, I'm not telling you anything. Yeah. The suit demands it. Did you know that? And you know what he says? He says, "You people know who I am, don't you?" And they stick him back in coach, and they stick him back in coach, and they say, "Yes, we do."
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
Okay. Guess that didn't work. You know who I am, don't you? Yes. You can sit in row 36.
Access denied.
All right. Tonight, it's 3 MAC games on TV. Do you know that? 3 men. It's Maction night.
Yeah, I did see that tonight.
Including Joe Moorhead's Akron team. They're struggling. They're 1-8. And yeah. So Jeez, the Raiders had released another first-round pick. Jonathan Abram released, 2019 first-rounder. Gone. And I thought they would draft better. I really did. Yeah, really thought they would. But it is. The Raiders are a mess. And let's see, the Colts. Parks Frazier, the assistant quarterback coach, is going to call the offense. No word on who's going to execute it, but he's going to call it. And the college football playoff rankings come out tonight, this being a Tuesday. We all know Georgia will be number one, so that's no issue.
We'll see if common sense prevails this time.
It doesn't matter. I keep telling you, it doesn't matter. All they are snapshots in the moment. That's all these things are. They are snapshots in the moment. I feel like all these years, I've changed your viewpoint a little bit.
But seriously, though, I mean, I'm going to use what you said about the Big Ten scheduling committee. These guys have no feel for their job. This college football playoff committee. Zippola.
Well, they don't have to do... They're not really doing anything. All they're doing is ranking them 1 through 25 or whatever. And this is not the final ranking, so they can really do whatever they want. Because it has no... There's no impact.
I know.
I mean, there's no impact.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best of new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Service department with a great all-star group of technicians to take care of the life of your vehicles. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Very quickly here, if I'm a Colts fan, I believe the Sioux coached his son in biddy ball, didn't he? In football?
I think so, yeah.
Does it bother you if you're a Colts fan the Sioux has more head coaching experience than Jeff Saturday? Asking for a friend.
If this isn't tanking, I don't know what is. Because I've never seen any of this before.
Stunning move. Talk about moving up through the coaching ranks. Oh, wait, didn't do that. All right. Whew. Okay. Glad I'm not a Colts fan. I am a John Crispin fan. College basketball officially underway. Talked to Nate Davis. Penn State beat Winthrop by 25 last night. Loyola next on Thursday. John, always great to have you with us.
So Jack Ham looks at me. The other day, he says, so who's really good in college basketball this year? And I said, Jack, it's the same guys every year. I mean, how wrong was I?
No, I mean, seriously, the real answer to that question is who knows? That's what a real expert should tell you.
Yes.
Like, who knows? And the thing Nobody is, knows. Like, we live in this world where everybody has to have, like, an answer in a tweet, and it doesn't exist. It's not that simple, right? There are so many complexities.
Were you in my class today? This is what I was talking about in my class today. I said, ignore that stuff.
Look, I sit in. This is a digital world, Steve. Everybody's watching. But I really think that we're onto something here because we have this idea that there are experts, and experts know exactly what's going to happen. The truth is, an expert knows what he doesn't know, more so than knows what he knows, right? Like that's the truth in this game because of the endless, like with the infinite amount of variables in the game today. And the variables are less about sports than anyone understands, right? They're social dynamics, they're personal, interpersonal dynamics, right? It's the chemistry of a team, not about who they are on the basketball team. People ask me, like, what are you looking for early from teams? And I was like, I want to see the social dynamics of a team. And they're like, what do you mean the social dynamics of the team? They think I'm making a political statement. That's how stupid we are today. They think I'm making a political statement when I say no. The social dynamics of a team. And I said, guys, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how they interact with one another. What type of personal chemistry do these guys have, given the fact that they just met each other 3-4 months ago?
Which guys are willing to be an all-star in their role if they're not given a starring role with a team? Because they can wreck the entire chemistry of a team if they develop an attitude about it.
Steve, even worse, what happens to the guys that were supposed to be the stars, but it turns out this year they're not because we brought two new pieces in that we didn't know what to expect from them. They played someplace else, right? Like Johnny Juzang at UCLA is just such a great example.
Sure,
the success they had is something that you should pay attention to because he went and got coached. He got humbled. He went someplace else and said, I'll do whatever it takes. And that's what worked. And he grew into the role that he created for himself, and he did so with humility. And that's the example I hope people pay attention to. The problem is we only pay attention to, like, the Chet Holmgrens of the world as if we're going to replicate that, right? You can't replicate just born greatness. You have to replicate a model that actually works, and what works is something that allows you to win, not just get your numbers. And it's just a tough, tough thing to coach these days. I feel for coaches, if that's even possible, right?
Like,
you know, we're not supposed to feel badly for coaches, right? They're the evil multimillionaires that we've kind of portrayed in this broken false narrative around the game, when in reality, like, these are people that can help you grow. And if they do their job really well, you will love them like family. Right. And I hope we can change that narrative over time.
Well, what's made the narrative different to me is, and this goes back to the grad transfers. We'll start with that. You are now adding in experience pieces that, when you bring them in, had success someplace else. And the question is, can they have success with you? How do they fit with you? How do they fit with your locker room? How do they fit with your style? You can talk about it all you want, but there's practical application, and it doesn't always work out.
Well, look, I always said, like, before, and this is kind of pre-transfer portal, but just like when you're recruiting, you've got to find good fit guys, you know, guys that understand who you are and what you want to do, and they fit your system. There's a place for them, even if the role is not as great as they want it to be. But there's also a pathway to a bigger role. So, like, they're good fit guys. Today, we need right fit guys. And I know it sounds like semantics and you know, little play on words, but the reality is you need the right fit guys. And the right fit is all about the place. It is about the people they're going to be around. It's about how they feel every single day where they're at. And sometimes the right fit is the guy that has no place else to go, right? Where you sit there and say, I know he's been humbled. I know what his potential is. That's the guy that I want in my locker room. He's been around. He understands what it takes. And sometimes the right fit may be a guy that you say, hey, look, this guy is a star level player, but he needs to come here to realize it, right? It's less about what you think it's about, right? It's like, oh, well, his style fits what we want to do well.
Right.
Well, those days are over. It's as simple as that. Like, you need to fit where you're at. You need to fit with the people. And it's not just the people in your locker room. It's not just the people in the basketball office. It's the people at the university. You've got to like where you're at because those things do matter.
And they matter a lot. And then, you know, this is what everyone makes an assumption with teams, that there are carryovers.
Yeah.
Right? And you and I have done this long enough where you and I both know that every team is an entity unto itself, because people exit and take personality with them.
Yep.
People enter and they bring personality into the locker room with them. And it changes every team, sometimes for the good, sometimes for the better, and sometimes not.
Yes. That, and you know what, look, it sounds so similar to what Joe and I talk about a lot, is how this is really becoming more of a European professional model than it is the precursor to the NBA.
Right, I agree.
Where year in, year out, you don't know what you're working with. And look, I have weird predictions around this. Like, I think as we get through some of this, we start to see the separation of football and everybody else, and then we almost find our actual market value for college basketball. And at that point, we probably see less coaches making $5, $10 million a year. But maybe things come back to a point where we go, okay, basketball has a value that is not as much as we thought it was. And the irony there is, I think we'll actually like the game again. I think we've gotten what we wish for, right? We're the dog chasing cars, you know, just can chase the car until we catch it, and then we have no idea what to do with it. Like, we got what we wanted, name, image, and likeness, all this other stuff. Well, it's a total mess. And at some point, we need to realize that college basketball isn't college football. It needs to be in a market of its in and of its own based on the value that it actually has. Because I feel like we are victim to hypothetical value right now. Right, we're victim to perceived value because of the money that's flowing through these athletic departments that flows down to college basketball. It's not the actual value of the sport itself. So I do think if we are going to go this route where things are really more about business, in the end, it could actually help college basketball, not without first taking a couple steps back, though.
Well, this is where college basketball, to me, is financially. We all know what football is in terms of the driver economically, right?
Yeah.
We also know what the other sports are as the financial drain economically.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I'm not insulting anybody here. I'm talking reality here.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
In other words, all the balance sheets of all the other sports are red, right? All of them, okay? And then there's college basketball, men's college basketball, okay? Okay, men's college basketball. And men's college basketball is the 1B, but it's in that middle ground between the drain and the driver. And, that's what it is. And if you have good men's basketball, that is a really good supplement financially. It can help a lot of other programs out. And I'm talking about other programs in your own athletic department.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is it's starting to sound more and more like amateur athletics. Where Joe always said this, too. It's funny. He goes, well, amateur athletics is when you don't make any money. It's when you pay for these things to be able to take place. It's like a high school, right? A high school is amateur athletics. They don't make money. They lose it.
Right.
Like, even that paycheck, that $6,000 or $7,000 they pay their head basketball coach to coach the team that year, like, they're sitting there going, oh, man, that's just a lot for us to take.
We better win.
Right?
For that number, we better win.
Right? We don't understand that, like, college basketball has gone down this road where you see the facilities, you see the money, you see private jets, you see Ritz-Carltons, you see all this stuff, and you go, guys, is it really this good, or are we trying to live up to something that we're not? Are we living beyond our means? And the reality is we likely are. Now, is that such a bad thing? Not really, sort of.
I don't know if men's basketball is beyond its means. Because if you're making money, you're not living beyond your means.
It does if we separate from football.
Because if you are looking at the distributions, one of the things that hurt a lot of athletic departments when you see them in the red right now was the COVID year not getting the NCAA tournament check.
Yes.
Right? And that drove home the importance of men's basketball in your athletic department. Because everybody got the insurance check and not the full check, and that meant people had to like tighten their belts, and that's I think did send a message that hey look, but you don't give them everything they want, but you don't have to stay in the Ritz, you can stay over at the Courtyard, you're fine.
But couple that with what's to come, because with NIL this is money that is just changing where it goes.
Well, that's because
like, people think that
when they did it, John,
addition.
When they did it, you and I both know when they did it, and we talked about this before they did it. So this is not John and I are not having a foreign conversation here. Hey, look, they've done NIL, so post NIL, we're going to talk about it. John and I talked about this about a year before they did it. When they do it, right? It's going to be the Wild West, and that it's going to bring with it issues people don't realize. And, John, that's exactly what happened, like you and I talked about.
Yeah, I mean, look, where it's predictable, it's preventable, yet you can't prevent people from doing what people want to do. There's been so much agenda around our game, and it's been from individuals, it's been from entities, and I think that it's funny how we do, and this is not a political statement other than a realistic statement.
Sure.
We follow the example ahead of us. And in so many ways, this divisiveness within our country, it leads to divisive arguments about everything. Like, I can't make a statement about where I think college basketball is headed without receiving some sort of strong opposition with hate. And I'm sitting there going, no, it's just a perspective. I might be wrong, and that's okay. But we can't even have conversations about the realities we're facing, and that scares me, because that means all the people in the NCAA are just fighting for their own existence, and players are fighting for their own existence, and coaches are going to fight for their own existence.
Right.
And somewhere in there, me as a broadcaster is going, wait, I still like this job. Let me fight for my existence. So we have been riddled with personal agenda at every level, and that, to me, is the biggest threat to our game. Is not a united front, and we are not united in this, and that's what frustrates me the most as we celebrate the start of college basketball. It's like, you know, this is a great thing still. It's not that bad.
Right?
Oh, these poor kids, like, yeah, they're being taken care of, and I'm sure there are things that they could use more, but let's be serious, man. There's still a lot to offer in the world of college basketball.
Look, John, one of the biggest, in the last 10 years, right. You know, somebody was mentioned the word fraud earlier. Was when Shabazz Napier talked about, a lot of times we go hungry.
Right? Yeah.
Remember 2014 down in Dallas, he did that.
Yep.
John, you and I are around it all the time. How much food is thrown out every year?
How many times do you walk out with a case of Gatorade?
Right.
From the locker.
During the off season, maybe I can buy that. Okay. You know, there's no training table, things like that. I got certain stuff. I understand that. But, right, the people asking the questions, you got to know the landscape. And they asked the questions and didn't know the landscape, right?
Well, they don't sit there
and be the national beat writer for college basketball and not know that that snack is a buffet.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yes. Well, but see,
how could you not know that?
It goes back to whatever narrative I can spin. And that's, I mean, we're seeing it. I mean, look... Politics to me is nothing but it's a reality television show these days.
I know.
And you either like or you hate them. And that's just the way it is. But the problem is that's kind of how everything has gotten, where it's like, how can I phrase this argument so that it suits my needs and my agenda and what I think should happen here, even though
I don't actually know
anything. Like, that's – and here am I, someone who's actually deeply rooted in the game, saying I don't know that much.
Right.
Like, holy smokes, what is going on when you have, you know, a 23-year-old who just graduated saying, well, I'm the new beat writer for this, and I'm going to write this piece that's going to get everybody fired up, and the reality is none of it's true. Like, it's killing our game, and we are just hurting ourselves. We're hurting the things that we love the most, and I think that to me is the lunacy that we have to fix.
And you and I love the sport more than ever, like, because we love being around the games, the competition, the winning and losing. All this other stuff doesn't mean much to me.
No.
Okay.
No, and it comes and it goes.
Yeah.
Year to year. Just it comes and goes. And I think we demonize things that do serve us well. And we demonize them with whatever agenda we want to bring to the table.
And I love the games. This is knock on wood, but I mean, this is my 41st season doing Penn State basketball. Mm-hmm. I love doing the games more today than I did last year or in my first year. Because I love doing the games.
Except 2000-2001. That was a special time.
Except for 2001, such a special time. Yes,
special group, great guys.
I mean, the best.
Not difficult at all. Coachable.
Never once, you know, asked me for favors.
Nope, never.
Could you talk to Jerry for me?
Oh man, that's amazing. Like, but those are the things,
right?
That, like, that
you know what I'm talking about with that one.
That's what made it so special, though. And I think that's what people. There are so many layers. There's layer upon layer that you don't see, that you would kill to be a part of. And all the while you're going to hate college basketball and hate the evil NCAA and the evil coaches who make all this money and they can leave when they want to. All that's fine, but just know that there are real people being served very well in the system as it is today, and there will always be changes that take place because, look, we're human. We will progress, and sometimes our progression is a digression, but that's okay.
It's interesting. You and I both know that if we ask the average player, football, basketball, so let's leave other sports out of it for a moment.
Yep.
The scholarship, right, food, the training, the whole thing, they feel like they have a really good deal. You and I both know that. We've talked to them. It's like, hey, it's just a pretty good deal. We're here. Hey, we can get some a little extra money too. Hey, great.
until you convince them otherwise. And that's what frustrates me. There are too many people that have a personal agenda in convincing kids otherwise.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, capitalize on this opportunity. Don't waste this. Yeah. Right? Appreciate
right.
it.
Find exactly.
humility.
Yes.
Work hard. Be held accountable. Be better because of your experience. Stop complaining. Stop being a victim. There's too many victims in this world. There's a lot of billionaires who are victims. I'm tired of hearing it. Like, go be a star in this world. Be better, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, these are the things that make me want to coach, but I'm concerned with the direction this thing's going. I really am. I think we're going to have a tough couple years here of trying to figure out all these issues that are really not issues, but... Again, it's a few individuals who are making it their personal endeavor to change the world, you know, for their better.
Great talking with you as always.
Yeah, I know. By the way, there's games being played.
Yeah, I've got one tonight.
So. I know, me too. I'm at Illinois. I got Illinois tonight.
Who's Illinois have tonight?
Eastern Illinois.
Eastern Illinois. And Penn State's got Winthrop tonight, which actually is not a bad opening matchup. So
no, not at all. Not at all.
All right. Thank you, sir. A pleasure. Are you at the I Hotel right now? Where are you?
No, I'm not the I. I'm at a Hyatt Regency downtown.
Okay. Now I know where you are.
Under a fake name, of course.
Oh,
the amount of Illini fans are just flooding here.
Yeah, Joe Crispin.
Joe Crispin. The real expert.
Just ask him. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, he's actually good on radio. But
I know he is.
We come from a bunch of teachers, so he's
not just
a good radio guy. He's a good teacher.
Yeah, I know.
Like, people should listen. It's actually pretty good. And that's me saying that.
The best coaches are great teachers.
Yeah, that's very true.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
My pleasure, man. Anytime.
See, you'll end up being a fine coach. You're a good teacher.
Well, thank you.
And then there's the corner office guy. I'm a great teacher. Okay. No comment. He's a good dude. All right, we'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tim Brando on the show tomorrow. He and Spencer Tillman have the game on Fox Saturday. So we'll talk to the great man tomorrow. Always love my conversations with Tim. Matt? Show's over. So to the entire staff, I say, all rise.
There you go.